The quantitative tells us what they did. The qualitative tells us why they did it, the context in which they did it, and more of the nuance around the behavior.
We've been away for a while, but we've been working on an exciting season of How to Product for all of you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of How to Product, a podcast series on product management brought to you by PM School and your host, Arjav Jain. Are you looking to make a career transition to product management? Take the first step to becoming an amazing product manager with PM School's flagship program. We do everything we possibly can to kickstart your PM career, and we would help you prepare a resume, practice interviews, and even help you in salary negotiation. Talk to us to understand how to approach companies and plan your move into product management. We have a two-month remote program you can join us from anywhere that prepares you to excel in your first job as a product manager or to make a smooth transition to a product role in your current or new organization. Throughout the program, you will become familiar with a broad range of topics such as product discovery, product roadmap, market research, agile, scrum, product development, and planning, which will provide you with a strong foundation to become a skilled product manager. Check out pmschool.io and apply for their next cohort now. In this season, we want to focus on the process of building a product. How to get product discovery right? What is an MVP? How do you achieve product market fit? What are some growth indicators? How to scale up products? And while we do that, we also want to focus on understanding how PMs can be successful. With an exciting lineup of speakers, I'm sure there's going to be tons to take away from each episode. So let's get started and join us in this journey of upskilling. Sit back and enjoy this one. I have with me Teresa Torres, who is an internationally acclaimed author, speaker, and coach. She teaches a structured and sustainable approach to continuous discovery that helps product teams infuse their daily product decisions with customer input. She's coached hundreds of teams at companies of all sizes, from early stage startups to global enterprises in a variety of industries. She has taught over 7,000 product people discovery skills through the Product Talk Academy. She's also the author of the book Continuous Discovery Habits and blogs at producttalk.org. Welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us, Teresa.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Teresa, when I heard that you're a product discovery coach, I was a little intrigued to sort of know a little bit more about what product discovery is, right? And so if you had to explain what product discovery is to, let's say, a kid, how would you go about doing that?
Yeah, so product discovery is just the work that we're doing to decide what to build. So if I was explaining this to a kid, I would frame it in the context of toys. Some toys are more fun than other toys. Mm-hmm. And how do toy companies figure out what are the fun toys, right? They do that by talking to kids and having kids play with toys and watching kids play with toys and figuring out which ones are going to be the best toys. And really, that's exactly what product teams do. It's how do they engage with their customers, learn about their world, learn about what's going to work for them, what's not going to work for them, watch them use the products and services, and then iterate from there.
Lovely, yeah. So product discovery is an iterative process from what I've sort of got a sense of, right? And PMs, we're trained and told to spend a lot of time in the problem space. But on the other side, there's also a notion around, hey, you know what, build quick, ship quick, fail fast. It's okay to go to market with a not so perfect product. But you got to be, you know, the first to the market. So how should PM sort of balance the two?
Well, we can keep learning when we're shipping. In fact, shipping to production is actually a really critical discovery tool in our toolkit.
Okay.
I think where people go wrong is they ship what they think is going to be a good solution. And instead of iterating on that solution based on what they learned, they just ship more solutions, more features. And there's not really a lot of iteration. It's just ship more, ship more, ship more. Whereas really what we want to see is we want to see that pushing code to production as a way to keep learning and to keep iterating and to make the product better, not just have more things.
Got it. Okay. So if you can talk a little bit more about, let's say, deploying code to production and learning from that, right? So are you talking just about, let's say, quantitative analysis that can be done, or there's also qualitative research that can be done in production as well?
Yeah, so obviously with when we release to production, we do get real user behavior analytics. So we do get some quantitative data. But we can also Even when we're interviewing customers, start to learn about how they're currently using the product, watch them using the product. So there's a lot of qualitative we're going to get as well. And it's actually the combination of the two that's really powerful. The quantitative tells us what they did. The qualitative tells us why they did it, the context in which they did it, and more of the nuance around the behavior.
Yeah, I love what you just said. The quantitative tells us what they did, and the qualitative tells us why they did it in the context of that, right? That's a really powerful statement. So what do you think that PMs generally get wrong about product discovery, right? And what are some great ways or frameworks to ensure that PMs do it right?
Yeah, one of the big ones is that we're still really grounded in a project world where we tend to do a lot of discovery at the beginning of a project or often at the end of a project. And we make a whole bunch of decisions in the middle of the project that don't get any customer feedback. And part of this is just the way that business culture works, but we're starting to see a lot of teams shift to more of a continuous mindset where they're engaging with customers earlier in the process and throughout the process. So one of the benchmarks I give teams is they should be engaging with customers every single week. And that really ensures that as they're making all those daily decisions, they're making sure that they still work for the customer over time.
Got it. So continuous discovery is a continuous process. You engage with your customers every single week is something that I hear from you. And that is one thing that PM should focus on quite a bit, right?
Definitely.
Awesome. So what the world has seen over the last 2 years has been that, you know, companies are pivoting their business models and people are unlearning and relearning new skills in this virtual world, right? So how do you see product discovery in the virtual world? What are some tips to do customer interviews in the virtual environment?
Yeah, I actually think we get a lot of big advantages from working virtually. Mm-hmm. So if we look at interviewing customers, we used to interview customers that could physically come into our office. Already that limits the type of customers we're going to talk to. It's going to limit them to the customers in our geographic region. It's going to limit us to the customers that have the discretionary time to drive to our physical location and spend time with us. Whereas when we're talking about virtual, that we now can interview anybody around the world. It takes a lot less time. There's no transit time. We can interview people in the context of their own work, in their own environment. So virtual really opens up the types of people that we can talk to. It's also, I think, a more sustainable activity. So if doing an interview only takes 20 or 30 minutes, it's something we can do every single week. Whereas when we used to invite people into our office, it was very much from a project mindset where we would talk to half a dozen to a dozen customers. We'd do it only every once in a while. And then we see the same thing on the assumption testing, on testing our ideas side as well. We are getting really great tools as a result of all this virtual work. And we have unmoderated testing platforms and we have one question surveys. And we have really good data mining tools. And so I actually think that virtual work is a big boon to discovery work, mm-hmm. and that we're not losing a lot by shifting to virtual. I think we gain far more than we lose.
Makes sense. Can you touch a little bit more on how should PM sort of approach customer interviews in the virtual world?
Yeah, so the first thing is interviewing really is just being human and having a conversation with your customer. So everybody is more than qualified to do so. In fact, having any conversation with your customer mm-hmm. is far better than never talking to a customer. but as you get better at interviewing, you do want to think about interviewing as a skill. I teach a story-based format of interviewing where instead of peppering your customer with a bunch of who, what, why, how questions, instead ask them to tell you a specific story about their past behavior. This increases the reliability of what we learn from our interviews. It also helps you uncover context and nuance, the environment they're in, and you start to hear unmet needs, pain points, and desires. So there's a little bit of skill around interviewing, but anybody can get started. And then with time, they can look at how do they get better and improve that reliability of what they're learning.
Makes sense. Do you have some, let's say, basic questions that PMs could add to their arsenal for interviewing?
Yeah, so the big mistake I see teams make is they just ask far too many questions. They walk into an interview with a 2 or 3 page discussion guide. Everything on the discussion guide is a really direct question. It starts with who, what, why, or how. I really want teams to just walk into an interview with 1 or 2 questions. It's usually of the form, tell me about a time when. Okay. So I often use Netflix in my examples. I My intuition is I'm going to want to ask you, what do you like to watch? How do you decide what to watch? Where do you watch? What device do you watch on? The challenge with all those questions is your answers aren't going to be very reliable. Most humans, all humans, are not good at answering direct questions out of context. So instead, what I want to do is I want to ask you, tell me about the last time you watched Netflix. And I can listen for the answers to all those direct questions. I can listen for how did you decide what to watch? Where were you? Who were you with? But I'm getting them in a more reliable way. Your answers are actually going to reflect your behavior. And I'm getting all the context and nuance in which those answers occur.
That's a great way to do this. I was just thinking about it while you were saying, right? So just put the customer in a context that they're familiar with and then go about getting your answers, which brings more reliable answers.
Yeah, there's a lot of psychology behind this. So human brains are really good at generating fast answers, but those fast answers don't necessarily reflect your behavior in reality. It's not because our participants are trying to be misleading. It's simply the way that our brains are wired, is that our brains will come up with a fast answer. As long as it sounds reasonably coherent, we believe it's true. We rarely take the time to sit and like reflect on our own behavior. Like, we never sit around and think, oh, what do I watch on Netflix? How do I decide that? Right? And so when we ask those direct questions, the answers don't necessarily reflect what we actually do. Whereas if we ask people to walk through a real past instance, oh, you watched Netflix last night, tell me about it. That humans are pretty good about. As long as it's recent, our memories are pretty reliable for specific instances, and we can kind of recreate that scene.
Makes a lot of sense. So Teresa, before I let you go, we have a lot of listeners who are trying to break into the product role. So any advice for them, who are trying to break into this role and who are trying to understand this role better?
Yeah, so for first-time product managers, there's a little bit of a catch-22 in that hiring managers like to hire product managers that have experience. And so if you don't have any experience, it can be a challenge to find a job. What I recommend is that you start doing product work, even if you don't have a product job. Anybody can start, find a problem space they want to work on, start interviewing potential customers, start doing a lot of the discovery work around what might you build, understanding the opportunity space, starting to think through potential solutions, uncovering assumptions, testing assumptions. And if you want to learn more about this process, I do have a book called Continuous Discovery Habits that walks you through all of this. You actually could run through all the habits in that book, even if you're not actively working as a product manager. You could just pick a domain to play with and start building out kind of a portfolio of an example of your work. So when hiring managers look at you, they can see that you're able to do the work.
I'm definitely going to link your book when we release this episode. But are there any other book recommendations for PMs?
Yeah, so a lot of product management is making good decisions. It's making good decisions about what you should be building. And one of my favorite books is Decisive by Chip and Dan Heath. It really is a nice summary of what we know about decision-making research. It's really well grounded in academic research, but it's also really easy and engaging to read. So it's not a dry academic book. It's more of a, they tell good stories. It's very actionable. So that's a nice compliment as well.
Awesome. Teresa, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us and taking time out. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Boy, oh boy, so much to take away from that one. Teresa left us with some great insights on how to do product discovery right and what are the right questions to ask customers in an interview. Do check out her book, Continuous Discovery Habits, on Amazon. If you're interested in solving product case challenges or experiencing what a PM does by stepping into the shoes of a product manager in a live program, you should check out pmschool.io. If you liked what you heard, you can now rate us on Spotify or any other podcast streaming app that you use. Share this with your friends and colleagues who could benefit from it. We'll be back with another one very soon. Until then, stay curious and stay safe. This is your host, Arjav Jain, signing off.